With the deadline fast approaching, it is not clear if Iraqi leaders will be prepared for the handover of power.
Are the Iraqis ready? Politically, it's a wasteland. There are no viable political parties. The institutions of government do not exist.
That's Joost Hilterman of the International Crisis Group. He's an Arabic speaker, a frequent visitor to Iraq, and one of three people we've consulted to understand why the transition is proving so difficult. This week, Hilterman came to Washington, where he met with U.S. officials and spoke at the Middle East Institute. He's predicting that the United States will still be managing Iraq after the June 30th deadline.
And what will happen in reality is that power will be transferred almost symbolically to the Iraqis, while the Coalition Provisional Authority will dissolve itself and turn itself into a vastly expanded U.S. embassy. While the American military and the British troops remain in control of security.
Vastly expanded U.S. embassy.
Yes, they say maybe up to 80% of the CPA will turn into the embassy.
Now, you said there are no political parties. There are these different groups that had built up over time. There are a couple of major Kurdish groups. There are several major Shiite groups. Those don't count as political parties?
Well, of course they count as political parties, and you're absolutely right about the Kurdish parties being considerable and having a lot of support in the Kurdish areas, not in the rest of Iraq. Some of the Shiite religious parties also have some constituencies inside Iraq, but most of the parties that exist are essentially parties that arose in exile, and they have yet to create constituencies inside Iraq.
Is there any political party that can be considered national in Iraq?
At this moment, despite the fact that several of these parties have the word national in their names, none of them is. It is completely up for grabs who will be the new political leader.
Joost Hilterman says the only national leader is Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, the widely respected Shiite Muslim cleric who recently called for elections. But he's not expected to become a political leader himself. He's Iranian, not Iraqi. Professor Juan Cole has been monitoring Shiite movements from the University of Michigan, where he's written several books on the subject. Cole says that Iraqi Shiites believe they will soon inherit the country, since they form a majority of the population. And that's causing tension with other groups.
Many wish to see the Shiite version of Islamic law become the law of the land. And if you challenge them on this, they'll say things like, well, Islamic law is pretty much the same in the two branches, and it wouldn't matter too much to the Sunnis if they have to live under Shiite law.
The Sunnis, one of the other big groups in Iraq, would differ on that point.
They would differ quite vehemently on that point. And one of the things that the Shiites overlook when they say this is that if the law were religious, then the people who interpreted the law would more likely be drawn from the Shiite clergy, which means that they would have enormous influence over society and the Sunnis would be subordinate to them. And that's not acceptable to the Sunnis.
We've said that the Shiites are a majority of Iraq's population. Are religious parties and their supporters a majority of Iraq's Shiites?
Well, it's impossible to know the answer to that question without actual elections. What I can say is that the religious parties among the Shiites have demonstrated an ability to mobilize people, to establish grassroots organizations, to get people out for demonstrations, to make political progress and to have political momentum in a way that there is no secular party that has accomplished these things.
Juan Cole of the University of Michigan says many Shiites might embrace a secular government, but secular politicians haven't been making much progress, according to Issam al-Khafaji. He's an Iraqi who briefly worked for the U.S. government's Iraq Reconstruction Project. He resigned in frustration last year, but remains in Baghdad working for the Open Society Institute. Al-Khafaji says Iraq's governing council and other leaders are mostly talking to each other, not to the public.
There is a lot of activity taking place behind closed doors, committees meeting, the coalition authority meeting with Iraqi groups meeting between themselves and as leaderships, preparing drafts for documents on constitutions, on basic laws, etc. But the Iraqis do not know about that, and they feel marginalized, they feel sidelined by it, and the harshness of everyday reality, chasing electricity, electricity, chasing security, physical security, is also another component that's complicating the whole issue. For this reason, for the absence of a real national leadership, and not because Iraqis are pro-fundamentalists, the only people who are talking to them are the men of religion. And that's why people go instinctively to these meetings, because this is where they can express themselves. They haven't found any other avenue for self-expression, unfortunately.
What has the U.S. done to develop a coherent national leadership in Iraq, and what can the U.S. do to develop that leadership, if anything?
I'm sorry to say that precious months have been wasted on these quarreling in Washington and in Baghdad on who's my man and who's my party and who's my group and et cetera, et cetera. Actually, the basis for democracy is not to create people, is not to embrace a certain group. It's to create those stable, solid institutions around which the peaceful rivalry, if you like, on the electoral process would come in.
Issam Al-Khafaji says the U.S. is now trying to begin building those democratic institutions. But with that deadline just over 4 months away, he says it is possible there will be a vacuum of power in Iraq. He says there may be no government strong enough to withstand the maneuvering of local and religious groups, and no easy exit for the United States.